Welcome to Third Tuesday Conversation, a monthly podcast that focuses on the ministry of faith formation with children, youth, and families in ELCA congregations. Our goal is to engage in conversations that strengthen and empower your ministry world. This podcast is produced by the ELCA Youth Ministry Network. I'm Danica Olson.
I'm Adam Butler.
And I'm Elizabeth Pedersen. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest installment of 3TC. So today we thought we might tackle some conversation about ministry. I know, surprise, surprise. But we've been thinking about, as I'm sure all of you have, about what ministry looks like this fall. And seeing as the coronavirus is still around and not going away anytime soon, it seems like some intentional thought needs to go into what happens this fall. Back in the spring, you know, I don't know about all of you, but I, at least, we were putting Band-Aids on everything that we had going on to make it through the end of the program year. And now it doesn't seem like Band-Aids are the best way forward. So here we are. And I know we don't have any answers to give, but at least some pondering to do about how are you going about ministry this fall, and what changes and what goes away, or what do you have to do brand new? How are you guys feeling moving into the next stage of ministry?
Yeah, it was so weird to sit with our staff the other day and to be on like August 4th and be like, well, we should probably think about the fall. Because you're totally right, Elizabeth. It has felt like, I know some people have done this better than others. You know, some people really quickly got into doing things, you know, well produced and things like that. We struggled with that where I am, just, you know, lack of staff and resources and things like that. But it totally has felt like putting Band-Aids on, or at least like, well, we can do this week, and we can add this part this week, and knowing that, or leaning at least towards like not doing things the way that we did them when we stopped back in March, you know, there hasn't been that focus on the fall. And so it's kind of like, oh boy, yeah, I suppose I should probably think about what we're going to do. And so it was weird, but there's also some, like, we're trying to find grace in that too, that, you know, if it was August 6th and I hadn't done anything for fall and there wasn't the pandemic going on, I'd be a little bit more like stressed and worried about it. But I'm feeling a little bit like, okay, this is, we're getting through the things that we need to get through one by one and trying to do them kind of a little bit more choppy than, but it's such a weird feeling to be in this spot and to not know what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. I'm finding it hard too, because, okay, so we do have some experience now of doing ministry virtually, and we know that youth don't love meeting on Zoom. And I don't, you know, I know every school district will be a little bit different this year, but if school is meeting on Zoom or virtual or whatever for at least part of the time, then where does that leave us, you know, and what is our role and what do they need from us? And we don't want to add to the stress and the virtual stuff. And I don't know, it's a struggle.
Feels like a moment where everyone could benefit from an honest look at what either they have planned for fall or what they've always quote unquote done, and say, like, does any of this hold up now? Like, mm-hmm. If we are not face to face, real person to person, which obviously we know is the backbone of youth ministry, is being together in relationship and space. So if we don't have that, or don't have much of that, what have we never had the courage to dump? Like, what's the thing that we've just been doing because we've been doing it, or because it's fine, that actually we kind of hate doing? Mm-hmm. But like, this fall gives us an opportunity to say, you know what? Hated it. Doesn't really, you know, serve its original intent as when we created it in 2005 or whatever, 1995 for some. Like, why? Asking the why question, starting with why. Why do we do this? Why is it important? And if there isn't any compelling reason for that, then stop doing it to make room for something different and new.
Yeah, I think that's a really important question. You can do that from the perspective of like, what can we give up? And also from the perspective of, I think as we're thinking about what we can do for the my hope is that people are thinking from the perspective of what can we do for the most amount of people, and or like how can we have the widest amount of reach as possible? Because, you know, the narrative right now is a lot of like, well, if you're not feeling comfortable with this, then you can stay home. Or if you're not feeling comfortable with this, you can do X and we'll do Y, right? And in some instances, I think that makes sense. I think, you know, as we're talking about schools, like it's leaving lots of opinions out of this, but like, because there's way smarter people that are thinking more deeply about it. But in a lot of ways, you can't make decisions for only the most vulnerable in those kinds of situations. And so there's going to be an amount of risk that you got to take that is going to come with that, with those kinds of big decisions, right? But I think there's a way that we can, I think we're uniquely positioned as church, especially in this time, where we can find a way that meets the most amount of people and has the far enough reach. And so but you're going to have to make sacrifices to the things that you were doing before, right? So like, as I'm making a list of all of the ministries that I have for this fall, I can put out a scenario. Scenario one, we return as if it was normal, right? We return as if it was the way that we always know it. But if we do that, we're going to have to do this and this and this, and then we can't do this and this and this as part of it. So then scenario two is maybe like, well, we're going to come back and everything's going to be, let's say, outside until the weather doesn't allow it, or just outside, right? Well, what limitations? So then we can do this and this and this, but then because of that, we can't do this. You know, so there's this kind of like, I don't want to say meet in the middle, because I don't think that's not really a real thing right now. You can't like meet in a middle, but you can meet in a comfortable spot that allows for the most amount of engagement. I don't know what that is, and I don't know what it looks like quite yet. I'm still working through all that, but I think it's an important piece of like, what are we willing to, like you said, Danica, what are we willing to give up to do something in a certain way? And if we're not willing to give that up, well, then how does the way that we do it change?
I think it also is important to pay attention to the fact that like, when you're in an online space or not a gathered communal space, you're likely only going to be able to transfer about 25% of what you typically do. So I think that number, I heard that from an educator recently, who actually now works in our church. And I was like, that's a really helpful thing, because as I'm trying to figure out confirmation online, I am not going to get my hour-long confirmation lesson in. And I shouldn't expect that anyone will sit there for an hour. That like, okay, if I'm being realistic, 25% of that. And so that means looking at my curriculum. I've spent all summer rewriting all my curriculum, because it doesn't translate to online. It doesn't translate with my teaching style. None of it actually translates to an online format. We were doing it that way, like you said, in March, April, May, because it was a quick pivot and we didn't have another option. There were no great options.
Right.
And so now, okay, it actually forces, I've enjoyed the process in a weird way, because it forces me to boil down what I'm saying to like, what's really important here? Or is any of this important here? Like, if I'm going to actually get families to do this, which probably 25% are going to get the 25%, if we're being really honest. And so what will be a value add to families and not a time suck and another thing they feel like they have to do that will set them up for conversations or whatever? It's surprising to me how little time I actually need to say what our lessons are really about. And
yeah,
I shouldn't be as surprised as I have been. Right. Right.
But it's also kind of like a hurtful discovery of like, oh man, maybe what I'm saying doesn't need to take an hour.
I am the peanuts teacher. Wah, 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 wah.
Okay. Also, to be fair, you know that when you're teaching, you're also building in the conversation. And we know, we've said so many times that the relational piece is really the meat of all that is happening anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Give yourself
but
a little
But it is
more.
Interesting to like, I typically frame my stuff around 45 minutes, knowing that it takes a bit to get into what we're doing, and then we need some wrap-up time. I don't have close to 45 minutes of attention span this fall. I mean, Zoom fatigue is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And if we learn nothing from spring, shame on us. And if we hear nothing from our families that says, like, sorry, we're tapped out and we can't do it right now. That's real. And we have to pay attention to where people are at.
Totally. Yeah. So my brain is kind of turning here, but what I'm hearing in this conversation is a couple of things that are coming out for me. On the one hand, it's the pieces of our ministry and our programs that we don't want to let go of, like confirmation. I mean, that's a huge piece of what we do and is important to offer as a part of faith formation education in our church. And is that kind of thing really what our people need right now? I mean, we can't let the confirmation stuff go. We need to be offering something for them. But is it really meeting the needs of our people in this time of, let's not forget, still trauma and doing the best that we can? And so there's a disconnect there for me a little bit, because we're trying to find ways to make it easy to take in and not too hard to manage and be a part of. And yet, is that really what they need?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because in all honesty, what they need and what we need, what they want and what we want, is to do ministry the way that it's meant to be done, which is gathering in community. Mm-hmm. And building on the relationships of people right in front of you, right? So that we're in this kind of unprecedented conversation about having to decide, like, we have to having to name what's important, which is something we should always do, is name what are the things that are important to faith building and formation. But then we're having to put that alongside what people will actually engage in the ways that we're able to engage them, which this is not an unprecedented conversation on its face, right? We are always having to decide what's important and what people will actually engage. It's why we have to change the models of confirmation over the years. It's why we adapt our worship practices and things that people will connect with and engage with. But because we're not able to do it in person and in a lot of ways, in not the same kinds of ways that we did, even if we are gathering in person, we still have to change so much about how we do it. The importance level and what people will engage has become so stark, you know? And so just an example of, like, we're doing a virtual VBS this week, which a lot of people are doing, right? But the engagement is decent. Sign up is decent. I think VBS is really important ministry for our families, but, like, did a lot of people want to engage it when it wasn't happening in the same way it happens usually? No, not really. And so that's, I still think it's important, but it wasn't what was, and I still think it's needed, but it wasn't something that people were willing to engage on the same kinds of levels as they did before. And so what does that mean? What are we going to discover about ministry going forward from that, and how we do it in the fall? Because I don't think it's a hard place to be in, to say confirmation is important, but I also don't think it's important enough to put people in danger, which some people would say that is, like, blasphemy, right? We have to do confirmation. We have to help grow faith in our young people. And you shouldn't ever say that kind of thing isn't important. But I'm also struggling with, like, what rises to the level of importance, but also trying to balance that with what people need, which is spirituality and faith, and they need community, and they need all these things that we can't provide in the same way that we are accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. What if we step out on a limb and dare to say that event ministry is no longer? Like, I mean, it's hard to reimagine what does it look like, but here's the deal. Like, we've talked about this multiple times on this podcast. Like, the way youth ministry has been built over decades doesn't hold up anymore. So is this, like, a weird gift to be able to say, stop doing that stuff? It's not working that great anyway. Have some holy imagination about how ministry to teenagers and their families looks in a new era, which the church totally sucks at, right? Like, the church sucks at saying, yeah, what we're doing is just maybe not that awesome. Let's try something new. because it's hard to think about what is something new, because we get stuck in the question or the statement, we've always done it that way. And again, I don't have the answer of what that looks like, but I mean, this is like a weird example, but I've been making a lot of phone calls this summer. Teenagers don't love phone calls, or they say they don't love phone calls, but I have had some super profound and really amazing conversations when I decide to pick up the phone rather than text my youth. And so maybe youth ministry kicks it old school and like is about phone conversations when we can't have the face-to-face hallway conversations, or I don't know, I'm spitballing, but I just feel like there are some things that we have available to us, but we haven't utilized for a long time because we've assumed that kids don't like it, or that that's not the way that they connect or communicate, when that's not what I'm finding.
Well, and we have stopped doing some of that kind of work because we've filled up our time doing other things, you know, creating programs and planning events. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that is something that I have found during this pandemic, which we actually talked about with Julie back in the beginning of all this, mm-hmm. that what our people need is support and connection and just checking in. They simply need checking in. Yep. And I don't think that's not a new thing. I think that everybody needs checking in all the time. And now that's like, we've got nothing else to really do. Not only is it the most valuable thing, it's being revealed as that's always been the most valuable thing. I mean, going back to like old school, I mean, I hear people talking about, as far as, you know, meeting people's needs or whatever, people talking about starting pen pals with the older members of their congregation who are feeling isolated, which I think is a fantastic idea. I would love to have a pen pal, but like, who would have ever thought that we would be going back to pen pals? Mm-hmm. Yet here we are. It just makes me think about how much of my time in ministry is spent on planning or trying to figure
creating
out
a product.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As opposed to meeting the needs of the community. So like, for example, what's become glaringly obvious to me during this pandemic is that we as a church, we have the resources and ability to meet the needs of people in our community who couldn't otherwise do it for themselves. For example, we have the ability to raise money so that we can distribute that money to families who are going to need it, who have been, you know, whose jobs have been displaced or whatever. We also have the ability to connect people or to do whatever it is. So there's a community who, a mobile home community nearby, they're going to need homework help. We have the ability to like broker those connections to meet the needs of our community. That has not necessarily been a part of our ministry thus far, but maybe now that's what our ministry is looking around and seeing the needs of our neighbors and then meeting them, which isn't a new concept, but feels new. It feels completely different. It's a complete departure from the way that we've been doing ministry.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also an opportunity for us to, the churches, there are a lot of churches, and I shouldn't say this as a sweeping statement. There are a lot of churches that are belly button churches. Like, they look in on themselves. How are our people? You know, it's very turned in on itself.
Navel gazing, as the professor Stephen Paulson would say.
Okay. Yes. Belly button people is better, isn't it?
Sure. I'd love to hear Paulson say that instead.
I do like belly button people. That's good.
But like, how is it that we, instead of deciding we're going to talk about these Bible stories and we're going to teach our kids the chronology of the biblical story and have catechesis sort of this extra weird thing that they get when they come to church, what if we actually flipped it, but think about what's happening going on in the world? I mean, this is a preaching tactic, right? Like, what's going on in the world and how does what scripture tells us inform how we engage the world? But like, instead of teaching about the life and ministry of Jesus in that chronology, what if we talk about, like, what if we engage the conversation of race and racism through the person of Jesus, and that, like, hey, there's no white people in the Bible. And actually, this Fabio Jesus that's hanging in our fellowship hall isn't at all what Jesus looks like. Like, what if we're taking, helping our kids have context and bringing the biblical text to the world around us versus, like, today we're going to learn about creation. And did you know there are two creation stories? And which is all good and fine, but, like, does it stick or mean anything if it doesn't actually apply to their lived experience and their real life? I don't know. I think lots of us do things like that in our ministry, but this is maybe a time to dare to do something completely radical, like dump everything you had and start over. What does it look like then? I don't know. It's also August, the beginning of August. So
so dump it all right now and start over.
So good luck. So, yeah, well, yeah. And I think, well, yes, you're right. It is August, and that can raise anyone's anxiety when you start thinking about what isn't planned and how close September is. And, you know, I wonder if, Adam, you were talking about, you know, giving yourself grace earlier. That was you, right, Adam?
That was me.
You were talking about
a lot of that these days.
Right. Yes. And a part of giving yourself grace is, like, this year, unlike maybe any other year, you cannot plan the whole year, because first of all, we don't know what's going to happen in the next month, let alone 6, 9 months. And second of all, you don't need to put that on yourself. There's no need to do that. So what if going into this fall, you just take it a section at a time and figure it out for that? I'll tell you what, 3 to 6 weeks feels a lot more manageable to get my, to wrap my head around than 9 months does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for the first, whatever, 6 weeks of the year, I think I can come up with something and feel okay about it and then reevaluate and keep going.
Yeah. One of the things that has come to my mind as you guys have been chatting about this is two words that I think might be helpful is space and story. I think Dan, you've touched on both of them as you guys have talked. And the first is space. Whatever our nights are at church, we have a space. We create a space for people to come and be a part of something, whether it's Wednesday nights or it's Sunday mornings or it's Sunday nights or whenever there's ministry going on, there's a space that is carved out of a person's day or just physical space that's provided. And so I'm wondering what maybe a good question to ask ourselves is, how are we creating space? So how are we creating space for people to take that time or take that their physical bodies somewhere or do something? Like, how are we creating that space for people? Because it's not as easy right now. It's easy when you have a dedicated night and people are used to it and they come and they are part of the space. So now how do we create space for people when our physical space is either unable to be used or is functioning at a completely different level? And second, Danica, this is from what you were just saying about lived experience. I think one of the key points of our of faith formation with our young people is connecting them to the story and letting their story be connected to the biblical story, right? It's all about story creation and finding meaning in that story. And so I think that remains a, like, pivotal and foundational thing that we need to keep doing no matter how we're doing ministry in the fall, is continue to connect that lived experience with the biblical story. And so how does the ministry that we're doing do that? Not necessarily that we're meeting, like, confirmation, and we keep using confirmation, but, like, confirmation that we're doing New Testament, Old Testament, and Ten Command, or, like, and small catechism, like, all that stuff. Don't throw it out the window, but go one step deeper and say, how are we connecting our young people with the biblical story in their lived experience and their story that's playing out right now? And that story has changed a lot. It's a disappointing story for a lot of kids. You know, I mean, just the news about football and volleyball in Minnesota. I know it's different all over the country, but I'm just using that as an example that sports are changing, activities are changing. That creates a completely different story for a lot of our young people. what schools are going to do creates a completely different story. How does the story that's playing out in front of us right now connect to the biblical story, and how do we keep using that and connecting people to that? That'll take on so many different shapes. And it's not just like, I'm not suggesting like, well, I think it's just a video series on Facebook and YouTube. You know, like, I don't think that that's right. But I think that there's ways that we can think about the ministry that we're doing that connect, that help us to create space and connect to the story. Mm-hmm. Just spitballing there. But I think that those two themes have been really important about what, well, mainly you two have been saying. But, you know, I think those are good places to sit.
Yeah. And I think I was thinking, too, when you were talking at some point, Adam, during our conversation, about how maybe it would be important also to kind of let go of some of the, like, the levels of what ministry or what a program or whatever looks like at each reopening phase, you know, and like trying to make a mold that it applies across a certain program or whatever. What if at each phase, the space that you create is just completely different and outside of the parameters of whatever the program is, in order to meet the needs of the people in that phase, so that, for example, the space that you create when we can't be together, the meaningful space you can create is picking up the phone and calling your kids. They're just not going to meet on Zoom. They don't really, it's hard to have a small group conversation. It's possible, but it's not necessarily as life-giving as it could be. So what if instead you just kind of let go of some of that creating space when you can do it in person? Man, gathering a group, being together, that is the ideal, but it's not necessarily the ideal in every one of the sort of phases. So to allow yourself the creativity to just do what can be done in the most effective way in, you know, each phase. I keep saying phase, but you know what I mean when I say that. So I think we just have to, as I say, we got to be Gumby and go with it. That's why 3 weeks at a time is fine for me.
I think there's also something that's interesting about predictability, which can be flexible while also predictable. And what I mean by that is, so maybe this is revealing about who I am as a leader, but with all of the unknown and all of the things that were like, well, then we might do this, but we don't know what date, and we might it might look like this, you know, just like we were talking about this phased situation. With everything that youth and families are involved in that have these phases, like, makes my head spin about, like, we'll do this if this. It's an if then, whatever. And so as I've been rewriting all this, I just decided all of our youth things will be virtual through the end of 2020. So it's one less thing that parents have to wonder, like, are we online now? Are we in person now? Are we doing part, you know, this week, and we might go back to this. So the predictability of saying, like, here's how this is going to look at least through, you know, the end of the year, felt a little bit like, okay, families know that the church never closed and that ministry is still happening. And to have another layer of, like I said, that predictability, that sort of through thread says, this is going to happen and it's going to look different, but you can count on it looking this way at least through the end of the year, and if not further. And then it's like a little bit permission giving to say, like, it is going to look different than what you have come to know about us, but it's not going to look different in September than it does in October and in November, you know, like, I don't know. Do you have reaction to that? It felt like it was hard for me to plan anything with so many contingencies, to plan something well. Mm-hmm. And so I just sort of drew that line in the sand that said, here's how we're going to function, being self-defined and saying, you don't have to wonder about youth programming because this is what it's going to look like.
Yeah, no, I do think that drawing that line and being predictable as much as possible is very important, because you're right, there is so much up in the air, and to give a sort of a base of what to expect is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And also within that, this is the Now, this isn't quite the first time, but it's the first time we've intentionally tried to do this kind of ministry rather than throwing it all together at the last minute, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be a little bit of guess and check going on too. So while I think that there are some things that you can say, this is how it's going to be until this time, within that, you got to have a little bit of flexibility, because mm-hmm. you don't really know. You don't know if it's going to meet the needs of the people, if it's going to work, you know. And that's okay. Okay, so before we wrap up this conversation, what is the one question you're asking yourself that's driving how to go about this fall and what ministry looks like in your context?
Yeah, I think it's, I'm going to go back to that space and story thing. I think I need to figure out, I need to put that up against the ministries of this church and help, you know, help our staff think the same way about, and our people think the same way about how are we going to create this space when we can't create it here? And then how are we going to continue connecting that story to our daily lives? And I think if we can find the answers to those, I think we'll be on the right path.
I love it. Now, in addition to those two questions that you've planted for me, I think for me, it's really important to think about being given this opportunity to not just do everything that I've always been doing because I've always been doing it, but to take a look at every single thing programmatically that I do and say, what are we going to keep or transform? And transform, likely it's an and. And what are we going to drop, either because it doesn't serve a purpose or it doesn't translate or it was always kind of dumb. but like, what are we going to drop? And I think the other thing with churches is we're really bad at dropping stuff just in general, but what we always think we should then fill it with something else. So I think my question just ends there. Like, what is just not going to exist anymore? Mm. So those are the two questions that I am looking at all of my 6th through 12th grade programming through.
It's like a built-in gift.
Totally.
Totally.
A weird, like, unwelcome weird. Gift, but.
Totally. I know.
I mean, I wish it didn't have to, the gift didn't have to come
stupid.
In the form of a pandemic.
I don't want it.
But truly, like, maybe yeah, it is really. this gift to reorient the way that we are church together and form faith together and.
Yep, totally.
How about you?
Yeah. Well, I think in addition to what you guys said, I will continue to ask myself what do our people need and how can I best maybe not meet the needs, but at least do something about it to the best of our ability as church.
Right. Well, thanks for sharing those, everybody. And we hope maybe we can hear from folks about this too. If you want to comment about some of these things when this podcast is finally posted on the network Facebook page. I mean, go nuts. We could all hear these questions and ideas and could be a really helpful space. I know it's already going on. I know a lot of people are already asking questions, but if this sparks anything new for you, let us have it and let us engage in that conversation with you all as well. So thanks again, Elizabeth and Danica, for sharing those. And thank you all in advance for sharing those with us in those ways. A few announcements for you all as we wrap up our time together. You have probably heard of the announcements about the shifts and changes for Extravaganza 2021 and Extravaganza 2022. If you haven't, or if you want more information, you can check out the network website, elcayamnet.org. The world and the COVID virus has changed a lot in the world, and Extravaganza is no exception. However, the Extravaganza planning team is doing great work to create a new opportunity, a hybrid event for 2021 that is going to help us navigate the changing world around us. So be sure to take a look at that. Continue tuning in. Continue seeking out new information because it'll likely change and adapt and grow more clear as the days go by. And I know we all know, and the network knows that you're going to want to be a part of it in this kind of new and unique way. Last week, the network board also released its statement on race, inclusion, and ministry. We encourage you to take a look at that, to be a part of the conversation and in moving the network forward and becoming an anti-racist organization. If you haven't seen that statement yet, it's on the network webpage as well, also on the network Facebook page, so you can see it there and engage in the conversation in those ways. Thanks to all of you for being members of the network. Your membership makes things like this podcast, Third Tuesday Conversation, and the Connect Journal and Discipling Cohorts Initiative and Extravaganza and much more possible. So if you're not a member of the network and you've found your way to this podcast, thanks for joining us. But we'd love for you to be a part of the network. So we'd encourage you to join. If you are a member, double check to make sure your membership is up to date. You can do so by do all of this by logging into the network webpage and clicking on, if you're already a member, clicking on your name or registering if you're not. We're grateful for all the community that exists and cares for this ministry. Be sure to keep your network app live. We use that to give information and updates year-round. Other network events and items are posted on the calendar, and you can access other network resources there. So make sure you got that app and you're keeping it live and up to date. And lastly, please continue to hold each other up in prayer. This is probably the most important announcement that we could give you. This is an unprecedented, difficult time for all of us to be doing ministry, and we believe that one of the things that makes the network different and important is the way that we support each other. So reach out to a colleague at a different church, check in to see how they're doing. Be the network that we know this to be and the church that we know this to be for each other, because we each need it from one another. Thanks again so much for listening. New podcasts will be released on the third Tuesday of every month. Be sure to subscribe so you receive them as they come out and share them with your friends, please. And finally, thanks to Paul Amlin, 3TC producer, for all of his work. We love you, Paul. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.